This week we've been looking at Eastern Europe, 20 years after the fall of communism. We're hearing from people who lived through the revolutions of 1989. Consider Prague, capital of the Czech Republic. It's brimming now with commerce, optimism, and tourists a couple of decades after the revolution that put dissident poet Václav Havel in the presidential palace. These days, though, some Czechs worry that their political culture is declining. NPR's Eric Westervelt looks at today's Czech Republic through one artist's eyes.
Czech artist and provocateur David Černý rose to notoriety shortly after the Velvet Revolution when he was arrested one night for taking a paintbrush to a prominent Soviet World War II memorial of a tank in central Prague. Other Soviet tanks had crushed the Prague Spring Democracy Movement in 1968 and symbolized 40 years of communist repression. Černý decided the memorial would look better in pink.
When you painted the tank pink, did you see yourself doing a political act as much as an artistic act? Or
not? It was probably like being, you know, pissed up act, anger act. Yeah.
At the time, though, I mean, did you think consequences, like this could still get me in troubles?
If I'm doing something, I usually know that it might bring me to the troubles. You know, like, that's probably the way of my life.
Nearly 20 years later, Černý's penchant for lampooning the establishment and getting into trouble hasn't waned. The country's conservative president, Václav Klaus, is a source of great embarrassment to some Czechs. President Klaus is anti-European Union and dismisses global warming as hysteria. In a courtyard of Prague's Futura Gallery, you can climb 20 feet up a ladder and stare into two giant sculpted fiberglass rectums as their weird pointed bodies melt into a wall. Inside each giant buttock sculpture is a video screen of someone wearing a puppet-like mask of President Klaus gracefully spoon-feeding slop to the director of the Czech National Gallery, all to the sound of Queen's rock anthem.
In terms of having such fun from the politicians during the communism, it was simply impossible. We would end up in jail immediately.
Černý's not simply making the most of the freedom of expression he was denied before 1989. His satirical sculptures resonate with many Czechs fed up with the country's current political woes. Černý decries what he calls mindless nationalism, petty squabbles, and corruption in parliament and city hall.
I said that peace was more or less very temporary, but it's still, you know, the situation is still the same. And it looks that it will stay for a couple of years. A lot of people who saw it think that it's universal.
Černý is frustrated that just 20 years after the revolution, there's a sense of quiet complacency in his country. The consumer is king, he says, while former communists roam the halls of power.
I don't want to sound like I would anyhow compare that before the end of communism, it was better. You know, that was hell. That was like hell. The skepticism which I have is about what we expected or what we hoped for, and it's not really fulfilled.
What do you mean? Why? What do you see? The euphoria is obviously gone, but do you feel like the dream?
I mean, like, we were stupid, but we saw that the remains of the communism will be gone in 10 years. Like 10 years later, and then we had still, you know, communists in the government, and their preferences were actually growing. In the parliament, there is one guy who used to be in prison and torturing dissidents, and he's sitting in the parliament. And how the hell is this possible?
It's a frustration shared by many Czech writers and political thinkers. After the Velvet Revolution, the European Union and the U.S. helped the Czech Republic quickly install the machinery, the institutional structures of democracy. But some Czechs lament that the state will solve it mentality is still prevalent. Jiří Pehe is a Czech political commentator and director of the New York University program in Prague.
Well, I think that 20 years after the fall of communism, we realized that there is a big difference between democracy as a set of institutions, sort of the procedural democracy, and democracy understood as culture.
Pehe says it's proved far harder and taken longer than he'd hoped to get citizens more engaged in the deeper responsibilities of democratic citizenship, to energize people who for 40 years were used to being only inactive, passive citizens.
who were citizens only on paper, but otherwise they were not allowed to exercise their citizenship, to turn them into active citizens, people who are willing to take up various causes, who are willing to organize themselves. And it's not just organizations, it's also petitions, demonstrations, things of that sort, which I think the young generation here is increasingly getting involved with, and that's the hopeful sign.
I meet up with artist David Czerny and walk back across Prague's famous Charles Bridge, adeptly navigating the tourists. Czerny has convinced me to crash former President Václav Havel's 73rd birthday party. The one-time dissident poet, a revered figure here, and the country's first post-communist president, has been in ill health and isn't doing many interviews these days. I make my way across the crowded 10th-century church that's been turned into a gorgeous concert and performance hall and join the large crowd lined up to wish Havel happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Nice to meet you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
And congratulations on 20 years of democracy, a vibrant democracy. The country has so much to be proud of, but what do you see as the biggest challenge ahead in the next 20 years?
Já jsem ve svém prvním novoročním projevu řekl,
I had hoped the country would be more humanistic and less materialistic by now, Havel says, and I'm still waiting. Havel's words linger as I leave the party and walk past Prague's Museum of Communism nearby. It's a private museum right next door to a McDonald's. Here you can view the tools of Soviet bloc repression amid the smell of Big Macs. A poster at the museum reads, "We're above McDonald's and across from Benetton, Viva la Imperialism." Eric Westervelt, NPR News.
And tomorrow our series takes us to Romania, where the revolution was not so peaceful. It's a country where corruption is still a big problem, and every public office seems to have a price tag.
There were discussions on forums on the internet, and one guy was saying, okay, now we know how much is worth the Minister of Agriculture. I would like to buy the Minister of Finance. How much would that be?
That report comes tomorrow as we look at Eastern Europe, 20 years on.